This was a pilot study, and as you can see from the title, we were interested in looking at hospital admission and the role it played in healthcare reform. Now, as you all know, 08, 09, we had the big debate about healthcare reform, and it is still ongoing with the Supreme Court needing to rule on the decision. So our objective was really to look at, and yes, I don't have any disclosure statements. Our objective was to look at hospital admissions with the objective of reducing healthcare expenditure. While at the national level, we're undergoing healthcare reform, we also, at the local and state level, do need to play our role in reducing healthcare expenditure. So, roughly 31% of our health expenditure is directly affiliated with hospital care. So the notion is that if we can reduce this percentage and or reduce the amount that is spent in allocated to hospital care, then we can make a contribution to reducing the healthcare budget. Now, so we were looking at some of the factors that contribute to hospitalization. Now, at the national level, one of the things that stood out, we saw there was about 10% hospitalization that was preventable. So in other words, we had nationally about 10% or 1 in 10 admission was preventable. When we look at it at the state level, specifically Tennessee, we had like 16% preventable admission. So we said, is this a fluke? You know, is it systematic throughout the state? So we wanted to look at and see if it was just in pockets or how excessive this was. So that kind of prompted the idea for the study. So, as we said, so we looked at about five primary factors. First one is variation in practice style by the physician. Now, the physician contributed to two of those factors, elective surgery. And elective surgery was looked at in two components. You have low variation procedures, which this surgery might be considered somewhat consistent in recommendation. So you have more uniformity in his recommendation. So a physician may recommend somebody to have surgery and be admitted. You also have high variation procedure surgery. These are more, there are less consistency in the physician recommendation. An example here is angioplasty. Also, a physician's recommendations for a discretionary condition may also lead somebody to be admitted in the hospital. So a discretionary condition would be something like influenza. In other words, your physician may say, yes, I need for you to be admitted in the hospital, or you can stay in a non-hospital setting where you can still get safe care. So those are two issues related directly to the physician that may increase a hospital's admissions rate. And of course, bed capacity per capita. So the idea is, the more bed a hospital has, they're more what? Inclined to fill them, right? Build it and they will come. So that's kind of the notion. So we look at, so these are the five areas we were looking at. And the last one there is community population preference. Now, depending at the local level, depending on how well the healthcare is managed, depending upon the communication, depending upon the relationship with the physician, some local patients prefer going to their local hospital than being referred out to an urban hospital. So that was also a factor that was considered in influencing admission rates. Okay, so for our method, as I said, this was a pilot study. We wanted to actually look at the state of Tennessee as a whole, but we decided to do a pilot study. So we were able to get data from 2006, so the hospital discharge data, and we only had 1 year. So we created a MSA, which we pretty much looked at the 60%. We looked at where does the majority of the admission come from in a in a hospital service area. So within, so once we get up to 60% of the admissions from that one particular zip code, we created a MSA. So we had four MSAs, and we had four adjoining counties. These, not counties, four adjoining MSAs. These were pretty much same geographic area. They were similar in socioeconomic status. They were similar in risk factors. So kind of have that consistent going on. So what are some of the things that we were actually interested in? We looked at per capita rates of total hospitals. We looked at ACSC conditions. Now, ACSCs are ambulatory care sensitive conditions. These are what is considered preventable conditions. So, and of the five risk factors that contributes to admissions, we think that the preventable or the ACSCs are probably the largest factor. So we were thinking if we can actually get a handle on preventable condition, then we'll have a much more manageable way of reducing expenditures. And have low-high variation elective surgery and discretionary medical conditions. So we did adjustments for age, gender, racial grouping, insurance fare, and comorbidity. For the age, because this was pretty much secondary data, we actually had just three age categories, 0 through 17, 18 through 64, and 65 and above. For gender, very self-explanatory. For racial grouping, we have the four major group, whites, black, Hispanics, and others. For insurance, we had also four. We had Medicare, Medicaid, or in Tennessee, it's called TeamCare. And we had private insurance, and we also had no insurance. And of course, we also look at the impact of comorbidity. So this kind of give you an idea of how the MSA was conducted. So here you can see, so here you have MSA A, D, B, and C, and here you can also see the numbers of hospital beds that they have. So we have, this hospital has the least amount of hospital staff bed. So this was 9195. But we also had competing hospitals outside of these for local areas. So we had a regional medical center here that also attracted patients. And we also had another regional medical center. This is actually across state line. So that represents a divide of the patients. So we did... We looked at the crude total admission rates, and we also did a logistic regression to see how does the MSAs vary as it relates to their ambulatory care, sensitive condition, discretionary medical. So what we found was that there was no consistent pattern as it relates to these five risk factors. We found that MSA A had significantly low odds rates for ACS condition and low odds rates for admissions for discretionary medical condition. So what that is saying is that in this MSA in this service area, the hospital actually did a better job of managing its preventable conditions. And the physicians there also were very much more robust in taking care or handling their admission by way of what they recommend to be admitted or what they recommended to in a non-hospital, safe non-hospital setting. On the other hand, MSA D had significantly higher odds for ACSC and higher rates for admissions for elective surgery. So they were not doing as good a job as handling their preventable conditions, and their surgeons were also more likely to have to admit for surgery. Now, at the local level, to address the issue of bed capacity, the result was not consistent as we would like. We couldn't establish consistently that the more bed you have per capita, the more admission you would have. It was, and I can go back. So as you can see here, this hospital had the largest amount of staff there that you would expect based upon the theory that this would have the highest admission rate, but it did not. So there were, this one actually had the largest, and then this one. So there was some inconsistent. But as you can see, it's only four small hospitals. So, and that's what we hope. We hope as we expand the data into all 95 states of Tennessee, we could come up with much more, I guess, systematic results. So some of the feedback, as we said, a linear relationship was not able to be established across hospital as it relates to hospital bed capacity and admission rate. And no one MSA was consistent. So we had some, MSAA clearly was doing a better job of managing these preventable conditions. And MSAD on the other hand was doing the opposite. So these are some limitations of the study. And as you can see, the biggest limitation for us was we were using secondary data, and it was only for 1 year. So we are hoping as we, you know, advertise these results here, we can get somebody interested to probably give us a grant to look at it at much at the state level. And of course, small sample size. And we looked at the unit of analysis was an individual. So in other words, it's possible that if an individual was readmitted, they would be counted at a second count, right? So that's also a limitation of the discharge data, as you some may be familiar with. And we were not able to adjust for severity. We did address for comorbidity. We couldn't do severity because that would require access to the patient data, and we didn't have that access. And of course, this account for probably a small percentage, but it is possible that somebody may have multiple addresses, and they may also be duplicated in the study. So clearly, we can see that from this pilot study, we did establish a premise. So there is room for a much large scale analysis of this trend. So you have 16% of the state overall have admissions for preventable condition above that of the national. So we're not sure how this 16%, how much these four counties contribute. So as I said, we really want to look at a much larger level to see if we can get identify if it's pockets, clusters, or a systematic result. So also, what we want to see is that the idea is if some local hospitals, some rural hospitals are doing a very good job of managing their preventable condition, then we can probably say to the state or to local authorities, here is a model hospital. Here, they're doing an excellent job of managing their preventable condition. Their physicians are doing an excellent job of working with their patients to actually keep them out of the hospital and refer them to safe, non-hospital areas where they can get treatment. So when you add up those conditions, when you add up those criteria, it is possible that we can significantly reduce the amount that is being expended for hospital care just by doing a better management of our preventable conditions.